you're a survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Survivor, Buffs, Blindsides and Banter Podcast. This is the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man. Did you almost forget your name there? That's what it sounded like. I'm going well. Survivor 46 rolls on, and you know, I would like to say it just keeps getting better and better, but I'm not so sure that it does.
Mate, I don't even know what to say. I'm sort of speechless after that episode. Trying to do the rewatch on that was fucking horrible. I just want to say, I'm all for this heartwarming bullshit, but there's just too much of it. I felt like in this episode particularly, we got so much Barnu, and I know that you've got a soft spot for Barnu, but...
Love Barnu.
I just don't. I just don't. I'm watching Survivor for the gameplay, and I'm all for a cool backstory like Tevin's thing. Tevin's small little piece that we had tonight was awesome. Like hearing about how him and his dad used to fish together and taught him how to gut and scale fish. That was really cool to me, like that short little bit. But then it goes back to gameplay with Soda and how Soda needs to go. Whereas this Barnu stuff, like begging on his knees and crying, it was too much for me. And there was just too much soppy shit in this episode for me to handle.
I'm a little bit...
Is that bad?
That is bad. Because last week I had Michael on the podcast. He was like you. He had no heart either. So to do this back to back, I've got to defend Barnu again. This man is gold for television. I love Barnu, everything he brought. Yes, when he was on his knees, you know, begging, a little bit cringy, but also my heart went out to him. I felt so sorry for him. He could feel his dreams, you know, shattering around him. You know, the man's on an island in the game.
It's his own fault, but...
He's literally on an island by himself out there as well. So, isn't it? Yeah, I get it, his own fault, but... Like, you know what? I've always said there's more than one way to play Survivor. Maybe not every way you can win, but I just think his tribe mates were so mean to him as well. Mainly Kenzie, but... I don't know. Like,
I think Kenzie hasn't eaten in 8 days. She hasn't probably slept well because they only just got a tarp in this episode. So she's been wet, cold, miserable for 8 days. And then you've got this, do I want to say a 35-year-old teenager?
No.
Or a 40-year-old teenager? Just... being upset, like, I don't want to be too much of an asshole here, but that would get on my nerves as well.
Why are we defending Kenzie? She was out of order, I thought. She was way out of line for me. Like, this is some of the things she said were just horrible. To say, why did he even come out here? He should have just gone camping. Like, this is his dream too. And maybe he doesn't want to be this big social player that is playing correctly like you, Kenzie. Maybe he wants to play it his own way. And that's fine. It doesn't mean he's going to do well, but it's any way is valid because there's not one way to play Survivor. And she should know that because she's just supposed to be a fan and she's seen how many different types of player win the game. Arguably, you know, 44. So, 43. But I just think she was just so out of order. She also said, I shouldn't need a help and he's 15 years older than me. Age has nothing to do with how good you are as a Survivor player. The skills that you have for the game, and not everyone has these. It's obviously hard with English being a second language as well, so I'm going to give him that. And the man's just, he's the nicest man in the world. Like, he doesn't have that killer instinct, that slyness like everyone else. So cut him some slack, everyone. I mean, I don't have his Barnu haters out there, except for you and maybe Michael, but cut him some slack. The man's a god. I love him.
I'm glad Michael was on last week's podcast because he defended what he needed to defend. Look, I loved Barnu. I loved the first 10 minutes of Barnu at the start of the season. I really enjoyed it. Barnu, I agree. He was great casting. But it just went on and on and on. And, like, he's dug himself into a hole. Like, it's all of it is his fault. The reason he got voted out was his fault. Because he literally gave everything away to the other tribe, then told his tribe he gave everything away to the other tribe. He needed to be voted out. I watch Survivor for strategy. I watch it for gameplay. This is why I love the show. I've watched other shows. The strategy doesn't compare in my mind. There's a reason I watch Survivor. There was not a whole lot of strategy in this episode. There was a little bit on the other tribes. It was good. I enjoyed that part. And we got the backstory from Maria. That was sick. We got the backstory from Tevin. That's awesome. But this backstory from Barnu, it's been going on for like 4 episodes. It's just too much. It's too much of a, I guess, a good thing. Too much of a good thing for me to handle. And no, I don't have a heart when it comes to this, because the guy dug his own grave. He deserved to get voted off. And I'm sorry, Barnu, but you did not win over my heart.
Wow.
I feel sorry. I am thankful that you've gotten out of your place. But, dude, grow up.
No, you are out of line.
I'm trying to hold myself back, but I might be out of line, but dude.
The man is one heart short of a million, and you're not going to give him your heart? Are you kidding me? Come on. He wants to get that million. I just think you can't have it both ways. You like Tevin's story. You like Maria's story. Yes, we've seen a lot of Barnu, but you know what? His tribe's lost every challenge. That's why we're seeing that tribe so much. And he is the main character of that tribe. So you can't just say, like, I don't want to see it. What do you want to see? Like, the other tribes are doing nothing. They're not joining a tribal council. There's nothing going on there. So we have to see, you know, the Janu 4 and the chaos that it is. I'm not saying feel sorry for Barnu because he got voted out, because I'm not, because he deserves to get voted out, like you said. I agree with that. All I'm saying is have a heart for this man who's come into the game maybe a little bit unprepared of what to expect in the game situation. I'm sure. And in terms of like living out on the island is fine, everything else. But it's when that social nuanced game of how do you conceal information, it's not natural. People don't do this in their daily lives. So he doesn't know how to do it. And it's fine. And I've liked Q a lot, trying to help him. He's trying to coach him. And that's been fun to see. And he's trying to take it on board. But that's stuff that is, you need to be trying to do this a long time before you get out there. And it's obvious that he didn't understand that, but I think we can still love the man. I don't think we need to dislike him. You watch it for strategy, and that's fine. That's valid, as do I. But over strategy, I watch it for entertainment. I want to be entertained. I want to feel something. And certainly, Barnu has ticked that box. I was, not just this episode, many episodes, just through Barnu, just emotional watching his journey. And he will go down as the most memorable character of this season. I will guarantee it. Drop the mic. Bang.
Is that why everyone's so disappointed in this season so far? Is because he probably will.
What's it going to be without him? That's my question. What's it going to be without him? It can't get any better now. It better get better.
Yes, it will. There'll be actual gameplay. Look, okay, so there was one section that I guess I could self-relate to, and Barnu and his self-talk. And obviously he's sort of like, you're an idiot, sort of, you fucked this up. That bad self-talk, I can relate. I know in the past I've used to do that to myself quite a bit, and now I've had to change that. It was a habit that I had to change in my life. So that is one thing that I did relate to Barnu for. But, like, genuinely on your knees begging, and I understand he loves the game, but sometimes you just got to know when to fucking give up. And I am going to come down as the fucking bad guy here. And I really don't know if I care, because holy fuck, there was just too much Barnu. Anyway, can we talk about some fucking strategy?
No, because nothing happened. We didn't even go to the vote in this episode, which also bothers me. You can yell at that. I'm happy if you want to go off at that, because that's something valid you can be upset with. Why was there no vote?
Dude, they didn't need to go to the vote. He was getting voted out. He had no way of saving himself. When it gets to the point that you need an item to save yourself, you have fucked up in the game of Survivor.
But the other three people there have votes. So by not letting him vote, it takes away their agency to do anything. And I know that, you know, they say we would have voted Barnu, and that's fine. They probably would have. But why not just let it happen and see what happens? Give someone the chance to change their vote. I don't get it. I don't. What? This is not added to the TV at all. I don't like. This has done nothing for this episode. I know the vote wouldn't have mattered, but it's still it's part of the game. You know, it's a ritual of tribal council. This is what the game's built on, voting. And especially in this new era, the vote economy is such a big thing. Like, it's part of the game. Like, you need to get voted out to leave. You can't just say, well, we're all voting Barney, but don't actually do it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I'll yell at that. I didn't really care. I just wanted this episode to be over. is that... fuck, I'm coming out sounding like an asshole.
You really...
I didn't even notice. Didn't really care.
Talk to me about 46.
I guess I am.
As a whole. Where are we as a whole? This season, can it be resurrected? What do you... Is it just going to be like just another crap? Is it crap? What is it? Talk to me.
I don't know. I will give it a chance next week. So far, I don't know. Is it because we've had Australian Survivor, who, yes, has some emotional stuff, has some cool sort of little backstories in it, but it's not taking over the game, whereas American Survivor, it's taken over the game. And I love a good backstory, like the rest of them, but this was just too much. And it has ruined the season for me up until this point. Can it be resurrected? It can, but we need a change. Okay? We need a change because we run down the same story every season. One tribe struggles while the other two don't see tribal council. And... I've seen this season before.
Yeah.
We saw it with the Tika 3. We saw it with Lulu last season. I've seen this season before.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And it needs to something needs to change. And it can't change halfway through the season. We need a swap. We need it soon. We need something.
Yeah, I think the whole new era with the three tribes, the no swap, this is what like we're at this point now where it's become too much of it. It's sort of ruining the game. If there's a swap or something, if they go to two drops, like Banu's probably still there. And I'm not trying to just defend Banu. I think giving players outs is important. I think you can't just run a tribe and just get decimated because there's nowhere to go. And I just think there needs to be always an option. I know the shot in the dark came in and he couldn't do that because he had no vote, but it limits gameplay by having no numbers as well. As much as they think, oh, nowhere to hide, having numbers gives you options to do fun stuff strategically. Like we've seen it just in Australian Survivor. Like when there's 10 people, there's so many more options to move this number here and that number there and then make a new vote block here. When there's only four, like, yes, you get good four votes like we just had as well in Australian Survivor, but it's also, it can become very stale, especially if those four were originally of a six that's voted together down the line and now they've picked up another one. So I think it's just the new format of the game. It got to a point where it needs to change up. I think if you want to start with three tribes still, that's fine. Just do a swap down to two tribes after like two or three episodes. Like, do something. You can't just let it go three tribes till the merge, because it will be, because next week's one episode and the week after we're merging. And that's just, it's so fast now. It's just so, it's all the same.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's the same. And, like, what more can we say on that? I think you've illustrated that perfectly. I can't really, like, get any deeper into this. It's the same. We are watching the same season we watched last season. We're watching the same season we watched the season before. Yeah. It's the same. We need a change. And thank you for bringing back the swaps and stuff like that. But it was 44 that you finally brought back. Like, what, one player from each tribe swapped to another tribe, and then last season we actually get some sort of a swap. Like, it's just been too late. I think it's too late to see this.
We looked at 45 and we thought, okay, breath of fresh air, 90-minute episodes. It was a good season with good strategy, good fun moments. There was a swap. We thought, yes, this is how it's going to go forward. Fantastic. And we've just fallen back into our old ways. And I hate to be so negative because I still love the show. I just find it so, not hard to watch is the wrong word, but just the enjoyment levels aren't there like they used to. And it's so hard not to compare it to Australian Survivor, where that's coming off like one of its best seasons ever internationally. And we're just dealing with below par product from the franchise that made the product, that built it up, that gave us all those fun moments back in, you know, the 20s and before that, and then it, through the 30s, all these fun stuff and great players. And we've lost a bit of that now. And it's like, what are we, it's all the same. Like, what, it's like they're just churning it out for the sake of it. There's no thought to do something different anymore. It's just like, oh, yep, this is it. People will watch it. I don't care. Just, it's like they're on a budget. Just, you know,
yeah.
Give us just do something.
Just do something. All right. Okay. All right. Let's try and wring out this episode as much strategy as possible, because, and I know it's going to be hard. We're going to really be tightening this rag, trying to wring something out of it. Okay. So we got, I reckon we got the cue and how he coached Barnu and how he was preparing Barnu, understanding that he's that like they might win the challenge. So they might have to work with Barnu in the future after Barnu fucking up so much. I really liked Q trying his best. And I know that a lot of them have put sort of work into Barnu and they've explained it to him, whereas Q was actually training him. And I really liked this from Q. What are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, yeah. No, I do, because I think, like you said, if they win the challenge, he's going to be around. They know the merge is like two boats away. So they're not that far away to making mergers a foursome. If they can win one challenge, you know, it's not that off, like far off. So you want him on side. You do want to coach him to be a better player, because he does seem like the type that might be loyal. But then again, I don't know if he likes his people. So, but I think sort of what I sort of ascertain is that Tiff and Q are sort of in control here, and they do have a choice between Barnu and Kenzie. But the thing is, Kenzie's been painted as this big mastermind by Barnu, so. Like, it gives him every incentive to get rid of Barnu and keep Kenzie, because she'll be the target and not those two first. So, like, Q sort of positioned himself pretty well with Tiff. They have the idol between them. So, I like everything that those two are doing.
Yeah, definitely. So and we find out that pretty much Kenzie got saved from the Randan medivac, which is quite interesting, because I sort of felt like Barnu still was probably going to go. I think the right move probably would have been a Kenzie there, because you might not get the chance in the future if she starts to get a bit of a steamroll in the game, especially at a swap or at a merge. Obviously, we can talk about the bad strategy from Barnu. We can talk about he told the wrong thing at the journey. He told all the truth at the journey, but then also came back and told the truth to his mates. So that was just, that just makes it pretty much the smart thing to do is vote him out, because he just can't hold a secret.
Yes, I heard his exit interview, and he was saying he only told them after that medivac, because if they went to a challenge or something or a swap, he didn't want Q, Tiffany and Kenzie to find out from other people. So he thought, I better be honest, better let them know, that way I don't look as bad. So he was sort of had the right intentions, but I guess once they heard all that information, it just put this massive target on Barnu, like, we can't trust him, he's just too loose with information. Which ultimately was, his downfall.
Yeah, exactly. And he does the right thing to a certain extent, telling them. He probably, and then again, even how he said it, he sort of didn't say too much, and he acted a bit dumb, like, was that the wrong thing? You guys are close and stuff like that. But it was just too far gone by this stage. So, all right, can we get off this tribe? Let's jump over to Seager. Let's talk about Jem. And Jem she's a little bit mischievous, a little bit evil, a little bit, she sort of needs a mustache that she can like roll between her fingers. Like a cheeky mustache that she can roll between her fingers, where she watches them all dig this tree out of the ground almost.
Yeah, it was actually fun just to see some content from other tribes that wasn't just like, you know, naming songs or singing songs, like actually a bit of strategy. So I enjoyed this from Jem. We hadn't got much of her so far, so I wasn't really sure like what she's all about. But to see this sort of pay off, Maria picking it up and the ants eating them, and it was a lot of fun to see that. And the amount of holes they dug around this tree, like it's hard work digging around roots. It would have taken them hours. And she must have been just like in hysterics on the inside for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I don't know if you noticed, but she didn't in the edit, and obviously this is an edited product, we didn't see her helping very, very much. She was standing back a lot of the time. And somehow Tim, who looks like he's sort of digging the hardest to help, is the person that the target gets put on at the end of the, by the end of this episode. Like, Tim, like, Mariah brings it up to Jem and says, okay, maybe Tim's, like, he seems like a little bit over-eager, and you got Jem there who's not helping at all, Tim who's helping too much, and they're able to blame him for helping too much. It's very interesting and very good gameplay by Jem, letting someone else bring up the name and letting them start the conversation with Maria and her just sort of reinforcing.
Yeah, it's funny because I think it was Ben or Charlie's like, oh, maybe someone just replanted it. So it's like, she didn't have to say that. And then someone else throws out Tim's name. It's like, I guess like we see a bit of a snip of next week and there's a bit more about this happening. So I wonder if they actually believe it's Tim or it's gonna jump back to Jem or what's going to happen. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I thought, yeah, the Beware advantage especially is very interesting because everyone knows that you lose your vote while you have it. But I think that certain bit of paper doesn't say anything about your vote. So it's a little bit, you're in two minds, am I voting or not, I guess. Like, you could probably convince someone that they have lost their vote, perhaps, if they just bring it up and say, oh, Maria, you can't vote now. She might just believe that, which is, I guess, another part of the strategy. So it's all quite a bit of fun, but I don't think this tribe's going to trouble council, so it might be a long time to pay off.
So last week on the podcast, you and Michael mentioned that when Jem was reading out her sheet of paper, when she found the Beware advantage, she brought up that if you don't go to tribal council, look for further instructions. And that was a really great pickup because not everyone would have picked that up. And that pretty much implies that Sega's not going to go to tribal council. So Jem could get away with this completely scot-free in theory. Like, this is pretty cool. Because I think the scared thing for Jem is after the whole tribe digging up this tree, then when they do eventually go to a vote and she has to actually do the work, she gets caught doing the work and she comes out looking 1,000 times worse than she already does. She comes out looking evil. She comes out looking like she's twirling a mustache in the background. Whereas this is really cool. This is very interesting. This could be a very interesting storyline and she might get away with it completely. But we do see Tim approach her next episode, which is probably what happens on a tribe that doesn't go to tribal council. There's nothing else to do other than start blaming each other.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And if you don't go to tribal council with a group of six and you've got this bit of mistrust, if they realize, okay, someone has it and then no one's owning up to it, you're going to emerge as a six, but it's pretty fractured because you're going to have opinions on who's lying to you, who's not. So you're never going to work together because you've just set this up to fail. So as much as we love this move as an entertainment standpoint, I'm not sure it was that good strategically. Like, what is the benefit of this? What good can come of this, except for painting a target on Tim, so?
Yeah, and no, actually, I love what you said. That's awesome. That's so true because you're pretty much turning this into this season's Bellow, where there's just so much distrust, disharmony, when the truth is they looked pretty in sync up until this point. Like, yes,
yeah,
there was the guys versus the girls sort of thing between Tim and Tim, like thought the girls were getting together and shit like that. But there wasn't too much distrust that we saw till this sort of started. So Gemma sort of fucked the chance for Sega to stay as a six going into, say, Emerge.
Yeah, like we always say the benefit of going to tribal council early is finding out where the lines actually lie and, you know, building your alliance strong. So the flip side of that is if you don't go to tribal council, you want to keep the Kumbaya stuff happening forever. You want to at least make the illusion that we're all together and give no reason to flip on me because we all trust each other implicitly because we've done nothing wrong to anyone here. But just doing this, it's really, I don't think it's a positive move. I think it's going to backfire. Somewhere down the line, this will come back to bite someone in that tribe for no reason.
Yeah, for no reason other than Jem just wanting a bit of fun.
I respect that because she's here for the TV, which is great. Which is great.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, anyway, so talking about this Kumbaya shit, let's get into Nami. Let's get into how Devin, Hunter, and Soda are quite a strong three, but because of this Kumbaya, I feel like Soda's almost got too much time on her hands, so she keeps checking in. She's keeps having the conversations with everyone and trying to be the social butterfly, but using strategy instead of just being the social butterfly. And Tevin and Hunter are picked up on this, which is fucking awesome for Hunter because he wants Tevin as close as possible. But what did you think about Tevin and Hunter debating voting her out and you, like pulling in Liz to vote her out instead of a Venus?
Yeah, like, you know, you sort of want to keep your core of the group. And in a group of five, all you need is three. Now, why wouldn't you pull in Liz anyway and make it a four with Soda? Like, I don't see the benefit of ditching her. Yes, you're fine. She's a social butterfly. That's great because that's good for you too. Because come merge, you need people that can influence other people, that can make bonds with other people. So you don't really want to cut them out. We sort of hear, I think it was Liz that said it in the episode, you know, if Soda gets the merge, she's going right to the end. So she must be really good at least bonding, and obviously she knows a bit of Survivor. So I'm not sure this is the right idea from Tevin and Hunter. Like, why not just make a tighter three?
Yeah. No, I very much agree with that. Like, if you've got Soda in the palm of your hand and she's just sort of keeping options open with other people, it's the only reason it's happening is because they're so kumbaya. It's because nothing's happening. They don't need to go tribal. Venus is the one on the bottom. She's been the one on the bottom for a while. So now all of a sudden people are starting to overthink their plays. They're starting to overdo it and possibly even make the wrong move coming into merge. Because having a Soda there who, yes, is a social player, is still trustworthy. She's still trustworthy to Tevin and Hunter. Whereas Venus is going to flip on you so quick that it is the wrong move to say make your four Venus, Liz, Hunter, and Tevin.
Yeah, I think what you said there was perfect. You're overthinking it. Sometimes the easy vote is the correct vote because Venus has been on the outs for, was it 9 days at the moment? You can't just say bring her in and she's going to love that because she hates you already. So once she has more options to work with, she's going to just turn on you straight away, like you said. So nothing wrong with the easy vote, especially when you know Soda's a loyal number for you. Yes, fine, she's a social butterfly. She's mixing with everyone. But at the moment, she's tight with you. Keep her tight. Build that long.
Yeah, keep her tight. Keep her tight. Okay. Just a few little tidbits. We hear again Liz is allergic to everything, so she's excited for the fish. That would suck. I'm very sorry, Liz. That must be very, very hard. And then we've also got Mariah can't jump.
Oh,
that was a very fun scene. I enjoyed that scene.
So just a bit of household stuff here. My daughter's two. I change her nappy. She stands on her change table and she jumps off into my arms. She jumps higher than Mariah. I'll tell you that. And she's 2 years old. Some of those jumps I saw Mariah doing, wow. How is this even possible?
I don't think we'll ever understand, obviously. We are quite physical people.
No, not even that.
And
not even that.
We
bend your knees. Bend your knees. Come on, jump.
Oh, you got to remember there's little muscles throughout the legs that help you jump, and there's muscles. I know that when I started playing basketball, there were certain muscles that I really pushed to help myself jump higher so then I could dunk. And if you don't use those muscles ever, then no matter whether you bend your knees or not, you're not going to be able to jump high.
But she couldn't even get off the ground. Like, we're talking 10 centimeters.
It was bad. It was bad.
It was horrible. My 2-year-old jumps high, like I said.
It was pretty bad.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Something to work on.
But there's a lot of energy in 2-year-olds. There's a lot of energy in 2-year-olds.
Okay.
and they use their muscles constantly.
No, that's fair. That's fair. She's energetic.
Because they're always jumping.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Okay. I think we've pulled all the strategy we can out of this and all the fun moments and all. I really enjoyed seeing Tavern and Maria's backstories because they were 3 minutes long and they were heart moving and heartwarming. But anyway, let's talk about more backstory crap and let's eulogize Barnu. I'm going to let you start so I don't say anything I'm going to regret.
Okay. Look.
What?
Every now and then, it is rare, we get players that transcend the game. They come in as this character we've never seen before, they have a different way of looking at the world, at the game, and they come onto our TV screen, and generally you either love them or hate them. And in this case, I love Barnu. As a character, this is such a unique man, such a great character. I loved him. I felt for him. I felt sorry for him. I felt happy for him in his moments of triumph. A lot of the time it was sadness, but I felt my heart went out to him. As a player, horrible, arguably. Like, he was one of the worst players ever, possibly. Like, have we seen someone just not understand the ramifications of letting information slip? To have to get coached on how to answer a question without answering a question, which is nowadays extremely common in Survivor.
It's neat. Yeah.
Like tribal council, when Jeff asks you a question.
It's the basic strategy.
It's literally like Survivor 101 now. To be able to answer Jeff's question so he's happy, but also by saying absolutely nothing. That should be a skill you have, I guess. But you know what? If you don't have it, that's also fine. Like, anyone can apply for this game. Anyone can play this game however they want to as well. He said it from the start. He wasn't here to win $1 million. He was here for the hearts. And he got there. I've no doubt he has millions of fans around the world. He will go down as one of the standout players of the new era for me. He will... one of the best pre-merge boots ever. I just think from a TV perspective, I'm not talking about the game, I'm talking about the TV perspective. He was fantastic. You can't deny him that. He brought it. I think if someone makes you feel something real while you're watching them, that's great TV. So thank you, Barnu. You are a hero. You have my heart. And hopefully another 900,000 plus. Will he return?
I think just leave it
sorry,
at that.
Will he return?
I think...
will he return?
Will he return? No.
You know what? No, why wouldn't he return in a returnee season? Why wouldn't they cast him? Jeff said he loved him. Jeff said he was a great casting choice. I could see him coming back. And you know what? I hope that Q coaches him in the off season and gives him some more tips. And he comes back as a great Survivor player who understands all that stuff with the social talking and that. Because he would... be great TV again, but it would just be great to see that evolution. I hope he comes back.
Okay. Let's leave it at that. Yeah.
What do you think?
Let's leave it at that. I'm happy. I don't want to say what I think. A memorable moment was his five fingers in the first episode or second episode. He's like, what was that? It was, I'm loyal. I'm hardworking. That was a pretty cool moment.
Mermaid.
And he like points at Jeff. Five.
Yeah. What about mermaid?
Yeah.
Dragon.
Yeah.
It was great.
That was cool. I enjoyed that. She's a mermaid dragon. yeah. Look, there were definitely some really good moments from Barnu. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to a segment we like to call
Previously on Survivor.
And see what we said last week.
Okay, well, hot take, but I think that next week will be the first week where Yanu actually win an immunity challenge and they're spared from tribal council and not because of a medevac. And Sega is also quite a strong tribe, so I really personally see Nami losing and going to tribal council.
And who's going home?
Potentially Soda.
Look, it didn't happen, but she definitely looked like she was becoming a target there. So who knows? That could be next.
Look, it's his first time on the podcast. Yeah, you got a little bit of work to do, Michael, to get to our level. let's see what I had to say. I see something similar. I think, Yanu's bonded. They're going to be strong. They actually, on paper, have quite a good challenge team. So they'll be fine. So for me, it's Nami as well. To me, it's sort of has to be Venus. So that's going to be my prediction. We're going to go with Venus. Yeah, Michael, even as a regular podcaster, we all get it wrong. So, there's no shame in that.
Michael, like, obviously Mac gets a lot of things wrong. You just look at the last Australian Survivor season. So, like, yeah, we forgive you for this one. Next time you're in trouble, but. okay, well, let's talk about what's happening on Survivor.
Next time on Survivor.
Okay, next week, I think it's right. It's a NAMI they go. I'm going to go with our guest from last week, Michael, and I'm going to say Soda goes home next
Soda
week.
Soda got to go to. Yeah, I probably think something similar. Can the Janu finally win a challenge? I mean, probably not, but surely they're due. So I'll go with NAMI losing and Venus again. I'll go with her to go home.
Okay, now for my favourite part of the episode, Buckle's Buff of the Week. And I'm just going to kick this off straight up. I'm giving it to Q. I think he's in a good position in his tribe. I think he put the work in with Barney when no one else really did. And just in case another miracle happened or they won immunity, I think he did the best coming out of that. I also think he made the right call voting Barney out and keeping Kenzie. So, yep, that's my buff. How about you, mate?
No, that's totally fair, totally fair. Sometimes we give buffs for strategic play. Sometimes we give it for positioning in the tribe. Maybe you've got some good alliances, maybe you're in the middle. But sometimes we give it for good TV. And I think you know where this is going. The buff goes to Barney. He is, over the course of four episodes, so much TV. And yes, he's got a lot of airtime, but like I said earlier, someone that makes you feel something real while you're watching a TV show that's made for entertainment is only a good thing. So for that reason and that reason alone, Barney gets a departing buff. Well done, Barney. And that one else had a good episode anyway.
I'm speechless. Okay. All right. Yeah, just agree to disagree. Good on you. It's your buff to give. All right, let's look at the buff leaderboard. And we lose Barney on one. Should be on a half. No, and on a half. Kenzie and Maria are on one each. We got Tiffany on two and Q jumps to the top on three. So good on you, Q. Okay, I've had enough of this episode.
We lose Barney on 1 million hearts.
Yes, 1 million hearts.
He's a one buff and also 1 million hearts.
All right. Let me finish this goddamn episode. I'm done with this episode. Mac, what have you got going on? What's coming up in the next
week? It is all happening. We did the Australian finale podcast with Michelle Pierce-Denevan. That was a great time, almost a two-hour pod. So check that out to wrap up the season. We do a lot of rankings in there, which is a bit of fun. And compare the season and the winner to other seasons and other winners. That was fun. Apart from that, Easter weekend coming up, so four-day week back-to-back, which is always fun. And not a whole lot of soccer started today. Had a first trial game. It was very tough in the sweltering heat, midday kickoff. Not fun. And that's it, yeah. What about yourself, Buckles?
Going away for the Easter long weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. So you get to have an amazing guest on with you next week, which should be a lot of fun. We're just confirming that as we speak. We also have some other pods in the pipeworks with current Australian Survivor players. Until they're out and through Channel 10, we won't be naming exactly who, but definitely look forward to some stuff coming up, which is exciting. And that's it from us. Get us on Facebook at Buffs Survivor Buffs Blindsides and Banter. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Twitter and X on Survivor3BS. And on TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter. I've been Buckles. He's been Mac. You've been Barnood.
See you guys. Go put your heart out for Barno. Give him a like on Instagram or something. He'll love that. Thanks, guys.
I will not. Bucks. I will not.
Bucks and Banu, the new podcast coming next season.
Is this Survivor? What? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Okay, now for my favorite part of the episode, Bucks Buffalo.
Bucks Buffalo.
It's late.
Should rename it.
Now, that's a great editing at the end.